Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
What does cancel mean? Just gonna make another account.
Oh, God.
Just gonna resurface as a motivational speaker.
You can still enjoy the present whilst being quite realistic and quite focused on building your future.
This is not the time to live above your means. This is not the time to start going into debt for things which really do not matter.
And this is not your sign to do the whole, I'm cutting off everybody in my life, because you might be the toxic contributor in your relationships.
And a lot of you actually don't care that justice is done. You just care that your outrage is heard.
Hello and welcome to the To My Sisters podcast. I'm Renee.
And I'm Courtney, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the To My Sisters podcast.
Now, we are all about promoting the wellness, growth, and development of a community of sisters across the world.
And in today's conversation, we are giving you part two of the 10 things you need to leave behind in 2023. Yep. Yes, as the new year hurdles towards us, and you are planning to have a year full of glowing, growing, executing your visions and all of that jazz. Yeah. There are some things you're going to have to leave in 2023, let go of, and just allow yourself to be free from, so that you can really execute and fly. And so last week we shared with you five, which you guys really loved, and this week we are sharing with you another five. So are there any housekeeping announcements before we dive straight into the episode?
I don't think so. I think the house is, we've kept the house swept, to be fair.
All right, cool. Okay, so we have a ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
Let's talk about it. Hello. Firstly, I wanted to say thank you, Renee and Courtney, for all your hard work and your kindness you spread.
I've been
struggling to read for years due to my ADHD, but since finding your podcast last year in my first year of university, I was so inspired, and my mum bought me the To My Sisters book for my birthday.
Aww.
So my dilemma.
Shout out, Momsy.
This year, I have moved into a new flat at University Halls with total strangers following fallout with my friends from last year. I had been relatively happy doing my own thing and not in a rush to make new friends, to take my time with it. One of my new flatmates, let's call her R, has never lived with boys before.
Okay.
And I was really eager to become friends with her. Firstly, because I knew she may need a sister while she gets used to this change. And secondly, because of an assault I went through during the weekend I moved in.
Yikes.
We became friends and I was so happy. We would stay up and watch movies in the kitchen, go to the supermarket together. I ended up meeting lots of her friends quite quickly. But then I got ill. I had three serious infections in a short period of time and my antidepressants stopped working.
Oh,
I was in the trenches and truthfully still recovering. And throughout this time, R has been very difficult to deal with. She seems to always need something from me. And if I tell her I am ill and unable to tend to her, to call at the moment, she just doesn't understand. Usually with people like this, I would try to put some distance there, but because I live with her, if I don't reply to a message, she will call me sometimes 6 or 7 times or come knocking on my door when all I want is to be left alone. Everything sounds like an emergency when she speaks to me. I will get worried, and then it turns out to be something small, like the guy she likes not texting her back. She doesn't really take no for an answer, and I struggle to explain how awful I have been feeling with my health, as she never seems to believe me. This has all affected my studies to the point I am having to go part-time on my course, and yet I feel like my life is revolving around her and her needs. Do you have any advice for a sister struggling with friendship boundaries? I love this girl, but I feel like my word isn't enough. I constantly have to prove why if I want to say no to her. As much as my boundaries have improved, it doesn't seem to be enough anymore. Thank you so much.
Wow.
Yeah.
First of all, sis, thank you for sending in the dilemma. And also shout out to your mom for buying the book for you. That's so incredible. And I hope you've been enjoying it so far.
Thank you,
I'm sure there's a whole bunch of bits in there that will hopefully lend itself quite nicely to your dilemma, actually, in terms of being able to communicate those boundaries and share a little bit more with your friend. I'm also very sorry that you've been ill, and sending lots of love and prayer for a speedy recovery and speedy healing. Also really sad to hear that it's impacted your studies to this extent that you've had to go part-time. No one ever wants to do that or envisages themselves doing that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you'll be on the mend, but also have enough time to just rest, recuperate, and become the person that you really wanted to be when you set out with this course. And then also, I'm super, super sorry to hear about your experience when you first moved in. It's always super crappy to have to go through something that huge and just really unfortunate, especially at the beginning of your experience in university. So I'm super sorry, and I hope you've been getting help and support to be able to overcome that. Otherwise, sis, in terms of your friendship relationship with this girl as well, it sounds like you've been doing a lot of work in terms of trying to articulate your boundaries and also trying to love her at the same time as respecting your own boundaries. To me, this sounds like it's time for an intervention, like a very, very serious intervention where you go, look, sis, I have a lot of love for you. I've tried multiple times to, you know, express myself, express my boundaries, express the fact that I'm not feeling too well. And that means that this is going to affect our relationship in these ways. I think that there's a level of firmness, it sounds, that you really need in this intervention. And I think it really does look like you practically enforcing some of these boundaries as well. I know that it's kind of sounds like your friend. I know we've got like the friendship profiles in our book. It kind of does sound like this is the more kind of clingy slash needy friend, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, because those kind of characters do have their strengths and be able to cultivate intimacy. However, to the extreme of that kind of friendship profile, it becomes very, very difficult to retain relationships with them because of the high demand that it places on you. So I think for you, it really is about, you know, be it coming clean, being very, very transparent and saying, sis, whilst I, you know, I love you, I'm coming from a place of love, this is having an adverse effect on my mental health, my well-being, actually my physical well-being. And I think it is also worth you really bigging up the fact that you are sick. I know that this has been very much, you feel that this has been diminished quite a bit in some of the interactions you've had with her before, but I think this is the time for you to actually put yourself first and to also, you know, enforce those hard boundaries where it may look like, okay, if she is calling 6 to 7 times, you might have to put her on, you know, DND, as in she can't be a favorite or whatever. It may also look like, you know, go into the extreme of having a sign on your door, please do not disturb me at this particular time. I really need my space. But I think it is now taking it up a notch in enforcing, but also protecting yourself and your boundaries, because it does feel that you have actually acknowledged, you've tried, you've shared. And unfortunately, when that energy is not reciprocated, it means that you have to take it a bit up a notch. Would I say to throw away your relationship completely? Perhaps not just yet. I think, again, try the deep intervention. It may also be worth, if there's any other mediatory figures that you guys may both have in common to help, you know, with conversations, or if there's other people that are around both of you that she can also get close to, because it also seems that there's a lot of pressure on you to show up to her as a friend. It may be worth doing that. But I think from my perspective, sis, it's time to put your foot down. You're actually unwell and you need to focus on getting well, especially since this whole situation has had such a bad effect on yourself and your studies. The priority really should be you need to be well. So I think stressing that to her, having that intervention, hopefully she will be responsive in a way that would, you know, be helpful, would be indicative of somebody that you've built a relationship with. That is not always the case. So I think you also do need to be prepared for if things do swing the opposite way and it may, you know, lead to some kind of dispute, or it may lead to something negative coming out of that as a result. Either way, I think the priority really should be you, your health, taking care of yourself so that you can show up in not just your relationship with her, but also in the other spheres that you've been called to show up into, your studies. You know, I don't know what your family relationships are like, but even in those areas, the other people around you that you may also want to, you know, make friends with, it's very, very important for you to make sure that you prioritize yourself now so that you can show up in those spaces. But do not be afraid of putting the firm foot down. You actually need to. You are unwell. The priority, you need to get well, sis. And yeah, the fallout may not be, you know, what you're hoping for it to be. It may, but I think the priority, please get well. Focus on that and do that intervention and focus. But yeah, would love to hear what you think.
No, I completely agree. I think you hit the nail on the head. I want to kind of come from maybe her angle, because I think that intervention or that conversation is necessary, but maybe helping you see her perspective could kind of make the approach more delicate. So mm-hmm. I really, like Renee said, like I really empathize and really hope you start to feel better. And I know that when you do get into like a depressive state or in a place where you're like, I really just want to be left alone, everyone else's advances are very annoying. However, they're coming from a good place, and I'm thinking maybe from her perspective, obviously I don't have the context, you guys bonded very quickly. Mm-hmm. You're in a situation where, like you said, she's never lived with boys before, and so she may feel like, this is my sis, like this is actually my friend. You guys have done the real, you know, bonding slumber party, late night supermarket yeah. run kind of thing. She's probably thinking, this is my sister. And as much as it does sound like she is kind of more the needy friend and she kind of does center herself in your intimacy currently as you're perceiving it, it may be that she's just trying to maintain that sense of, it seems like my friend is going through something and I really want to be there for her. And this may just be how I know to show up, mm-hmm, to kind mm-hmm. of be unrelenting and quite persistent. And she's probably doing it from quite a good place. And so I think when you go into this conversation, don't make it, you know, about, oh my gosh, you're so selfish, you seem to be making everything about you, like why can't you understand that I'm sick or anything. This could be how she's actually trying to just create an open door for you to know that she's there for you if you mm. need her, but also she doesn't want to pry into your issues. So maybe she's using her issues as the foundation of your conversation so that, you know, there is an opportunity to engage with each other, but it doesn't have to be about you. Yeah. And so I get how that can easily be perceived as selfish, but I think there could be a possibility that she's just trying to create room for you guys to talk, an opportunity for you to not be completely isolated. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's important to reiterate, like, all right, this is what's going on with me, and when this kind of stuff happens, I just like to be left alone, and mm. if I need you, I will let you know. And also, I just feel like it's getting a lot for me, and so this is how you can support me in this time, and this is how I'm going to be able to show up for you, or in this case, not really be able to show up for you in this season of our friendship. And I don't want, you know, unmet expectations or consistent, like you being persistent with me and me being consistently unresponsive, to damage our friendship. But right now I need space. Mm-hmm. And I think you're well in your right, of course, to put that as a boundary and put that as an expectation of, I just need my space right now. Yeah. But also I think encourage her to kind of, I guess if you do know her other friends, like just say, oh, so-and-so is going through a lot. I'm currently like not, I don't have the capacity for it, but can you like support her, give her a ring or whatever in good time. I think it would be worth just giving her someone else to kind of go to, so that she does feel like she has friends and she hasn't lost like a huge part of her friendship bubble in, you know, you becoming more distant. But yeah, it's really time for you to kind of rest, heal up, take all the time that you need. As you said, this has affected your studies in quite an adverse way, and so I think it's important for you to really take your time to process that and let people know what's going on with you as well, because I can imagine on the other side of things, your friends may be a little bit worried about you, or your friend in this case may mm-hmm. be a little bit worried about you. So just letting her know, like, this is what's up with me, I just appreciate for you to keep me like in thought. You can check in with me from time to time, but it, you know, I prefer it to be through message, and just know I may be a bit delayed in my response as well, because I'm just going through my own thing. And just make sure that those expectations are clear. But I really wanted to reiterate that, because I don't want you to go into the conversation. It sounds like you and this person have had a very, very good friendship. And I don't want you to go into it thinking she's doing this from a bad place, or because you are finding this very annoying, understandably, to kind of cause this friendship to just fall by the wayside or to end in a really bad way. I think this conversation is going to need understanding on both parts, and for you to just make your expectations and your ability to your level of commitment quite clear. How are you showing up as for her as a friend in this season? And right now it looks like, this is all that I can give. I'll message you once a week or once a month, or maybe I don't want to talk at all because I'm going through my own stuff, but don't put that on her. But you also need to make your healing a big priority, mm-hmm. a really big priority, and all the best for your studies. You will get through. And hopefully, like, the sicknesses and you, like, as you mentioned, having 3 infections, that has subsided and you've been able to kind of start taking your antidepressants again, and things are kind of on the mend. But focus on being on the mend, sis, and hopefully she can be a good partner part of that journey. So we are wishing you all the best. Thank you so much for sending in your dilemma. And we hope that you do enjoy the book. And yeah, let us know if there's anything, any updates on this, anything that we can do to support or to help. But we are sending you all the love and wishing you all the best. Cool. So if you ever want to send in a dilemma to the To My Sisters podcast, you can send it to dilemmas@tomysisters.com. Just send us an email with your dilemma in it.
Quick little message.
Yeah, a quick little message. And we'll try and get around to that. They are building up in the inbox, but we're trying. We're really trying.
We're working. Now to a podcast we'd love to recommend. Whether you're just starting out in your career journey or you're in need of a little confidence boost at work, you need to tune into Walk Tall by Carolina Herrera, a podcast created by women for women.
Two good friends, presenter Makita Oliver and Vogue fashion director Julia Sargemois, talk openly about how they made it to the top of their careers, sharing their learnings, tips and stories along the way.
Each episode will tackle the hottest workplace topics to help listeners find the confidence to walk tall.
Look for Walk Tall wherever you get your podcasts. We'd highly recommend you listen to it. But into today's episode, sharing five more things that you need to leave behind.
Leave.
In 2023. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys really liked last week's episode.
Yeah.
I really loved that. Yes.
I think it was something to do with the witch part and the health part.
Guys,
we had some good points.
Guys. I see that many of you have now confessed to being witches. And I'm not judging. I'm actually very shocked that we have found common ground in this sisterhood, right? I wish you all the best.
Yeah.
And honestly, continue to listen to our podcast. Yep. We're glad that you enjoy it. But don't get lines blurred.
Yeah, man.
We are not witches. We don't participate in such.
You know, there was a comment I even saw this morning that was like, oh, both of you are. I said, who?
Both of us are who? Children of God, I think.
The W word. I said,
Both of us are witches. Where's the proof? Where's the evidence?
I guess in our admiration, our alleged admiration of.
I don't admire. I rate. Just rate.
Yeah.
Ratings.
I don't even know if appreciate is. Y'all are.
Nah, even if I can observe your good principles, at least literally what we said in the thing. But anyways, you guys, majority of you actually understood where we were coming from. I'm just saying, I don't care for people who want to misunderstand.
There's always the minute few.
Yeah.
But into today's episode where we're talking about the five more things that we need to leave behind. Yeah. One of the things I think we need to leave behind is everybody is making six figures online.
Explain.
And by everybody making six figures online, I don't mean, you know, people actually making more money.
Yeah.
It is the constant need to validate oneself and one's financial, not even just financial status, but the constant need to validate oneself online while simultaneously putting down other people. So there's been so many times that folks will make a comment on finances, like, you know, things are getting expensive, we're in a cost of living crisis, you know, folks are going through it, and that will ginger people so much to the point of, you know, feeling the need to share more about their alleged financial success, which is great. It's great that you've been successful, but I don't think that that should be used as an opportunity to rain on other people's parade or invalidate other people's reality. In fact, invalidate the majority of most people's reality, which is things are getting more expensive and it's getting harder for most people. And it has created this, listen, there's so many pressures online already, but it has created this almost sense of shame for a lot of people when they are outside of particular financial buckets for the time being. There's nothing wrong with aspiring to six figures. In fact, sometimes six figures feels like a very arbitrary number. And we've even gotten to a place where a lot of people online are now saying six figures is not enough to live a good life. For some it is, for others it's not. And I think we are getting into very dangerous territory where too many people are now looking at very foolish things in order to live a lifestyle that everybody seems to be living online. But if you were to have a conversation with the average people, again, it's even funny that I even have to use disclaimers, because there's always going to be someone that will come and say, well, that's not my reality. You know, I'm living with my six-figure babes or my millionaire mates and whatnot. That's great for you. But the reality for most people, it's important to have this nuance, because you can become so divorced from other people's reality. You can become so, what's the word?
Insensitive.
Ooh, it's another word. It's like a, desensitized. Yeah, you can become so desensitized from the suffering of other people, especially around finances, but also just in general, their reality, that you now use this as an opportunity to mock and ridicule rather than to support and actually, you know, help others. So everybody making six figures online is enough, you know, it's actually enough. We should really be having conversations around how do we support others in making better financial decisions. We should really be creating more communities where people feel comfortable to share. Okay, you know, things are going to, I don't want to say to hell, but things are getting worse in this community, in this in this society. What are the systemic ways that we want to challenge that? What is the ways within our communities that we can challenge that together? But if everybody is allegedly making six figures, then the problem doesn't even exist in the first place. So
that we need to leave behind. I agree with that. I think it's more so even the delusion around it. And we have a whole episode about how the internet is making us delusional. And I think it's that, not only the flex, it's not necessarily even the flex of, oh, I'm actually making six figures. It's the pretense that six figures is suddenly the average amount that people are making. And I think that that's the bit that needs to really die, because it's like, guys, let's just touch the ground, like just touch the real world, touch a brick wall, remind yourself that this is not a fantasy land.
It's actually we're
living in a world, and the average salary is probably just a quarter of that. And I think that when people don't remind themselves of the reality, like you said, they do become desensitized. They do start to think, oh, like six figures, light works. That's a big number.
It's a big
A really big number. And I think it's even more challenging when you are talking about, like, you are seeing this in echo chambers of very young people.
Right.
And it completely distorts our expectations of reality, right? Like, you'll be 25 crying in bed thinking, rah, all my friends are ballers, I'm unemployed. And it's like, that's actually very normal, you know, depending on what culture or society or what nation you're living in. Levels of unemployment are crazy right now. Levels of poverty are crazy right now. We are living in a cost of living crisis, and if you are not careful, you will feel so pressured to push yourself and think that you're not making enough and you're not doing enough, and that you yourself inherently are not enough compared to all these people online who are like, I can afford this and I can do that and da-da-da-da-da. You are, like, you are just at a particular stage in your story, number one. And number two, you're probably living at the average level most people your age or in your community are living at, right? Mm. And there's nothing to be despised about that. There's nothing wrong with wanting more either. However, don't be pressured into thinking more is just something that you should already have, you know, you should have already achieved. Like, damn, why aren't I on six figures under 30? Because most people aren't, number one. And you may be thinking, but why am I most people? Because you are. There has to be a most. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what the average is, the average is so for the reason. Funny. Do you get what I mean? And I think a lot of us want to, like, play those odds of being, because we see exceptionalism so celebrated. So it's completely understandable why our human nature craves to be exceptional, because we want the celebration. We want the affirmation, we want the supposed security and adoration that comes with being superb, being phenomenal, being that 1%. But it's a 1% for a reason. Most of us are not going to achieve it, especially not in the time frame we're thinking. And I think one thing that really helps with that is exposing yourself to people who have more common stories, in the sense that, okay, for example, myself, this year I have been probably around more people in their 30s than I ever have been. People in their 30s, people in their early 40s. And it completely shocks me at the age of these people. Like, oh my God, you seem super young.
Right.
It's just like, no, they are super young. And we have been conditioned to think, especially when you're in your 20s and you're just around other people in their 20s who are at varying life stages, we have been conditioned to think your 20s is when you have everything together, right? Your 20s is when you reach your apex of income making potential, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, no, actually, there are people who are buying their first house in their 30s, their first house in their 40s, having their first kids in their 30s and 40s. And that actually is not rare, especially in a society where everything is getting pushed to an older age and an older stage. Gone are the days where you can buy a house at 23, because houses are no longer five pence.
They're not.
Like, it just is what it is. They cost a lot of money, and the amount of money we are making as a society has not progressed as rapidly as the cost of living. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for you to just remind yourself of the reality and not project your own delusions onto the rest of society who is just trying to make ends meet. Right. And I hope that you really do the work in 2024 to unlearn a lot of what you've learned about society's relationship or culture's relationship with money, because the cultural significance of money has become so inflated with self-esteem and your self-acceptance and whether you should, you know, feel proud enough. You know, if you don't get money, hide your face, as the Prophet Davido said. You don't have to hide. You don't have to hide. At the end of the day, people have money and some people don't. And we need to do a lot more work, not as just like individual people. Oh no, hustle, grind, read all the books, rich. You think I grow rich, rich dad, poor dad. Yes, you just need to read a book.
Assets, no,
I need the government to get better.
And this is the thing, right? Like, we've said it before in another podcast episode, it's a distraction.
Yeah.
And what is also frustrating about this whole everybody makes six figures is it's almost a death to empathy.
Yeah.
People are now incapable of empathizing with people that are struggling, people that are on benefits. Like, how many times do we come across all of these narratives of people that are allegedly lazy because they are not making as much as you, or they're not making the six figures, or they're not, you know, at that particular level that you associate with safety, security, and comfort, and, you know, the things that we associate with people that are doing well in life. Yeah. If you're below that, then clearly you're just not worthy of any kind of empathy or love or whatever. And I think it's that extremism that can be facilitated by our delusions that is just so harmful to our relationship building processes, both romantic, platonic, and familial. Yeah. Like, how often do people start, you know, getting tense moments as a result of the fact that they believe their family members or people they're dating or folks within their vicinity are just lazy or just not really pushing themselves? How much are we continuing to contend with this myth of meritocracy when there are real systemic issues that need to be challenged, but we're distracted by this idea of you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps to get that six figures? Some of you are criminals to get that six figures. And that's even another issue. There are a whole bunch of people whose lives we are extrapolating onto ours without the full details. There are some people engaging in criminal activities to get to that six figures. Yeah. There are some people that are evading tax. Mm-hmm. There are some people that are, you know, doing a whole bunch of things that are flying under the radar because we're so preoccupied with the image of them living their quote unquote best life.
Yeah.
We don't have that information. We don't have the information on, you know, what they're doing to achieve the lifestyle that they're projecting online. So even as we are, you know, crafting our vision boards for 2024, really think about if you do have the oversight or the vision of the pictures and the images that you are starting to associate your life with. Like, are we really getting the full story? Yes, it's nice to aspire to have a certain level of financial security, but what other things in life are now being made insecure as a result of this perceived financial security that you want to obtain? So guys, please, let's be guided. Don't despise where you're at right now. It's actually okay. And don't, you know, beat yourself up. I think especially as we're coming towards the end of 2023, it's so easy for us to say, oh, I missed the mark here, or I'm not earning as much as XYZ, or I'm not earning as much as I projected. That's actually okay. Don't despise yourself for that. And whilst you're setting targets, of course, it's great to aspire high and dream big. We definitely encourage it, but don't allow yourself to get swept up and caught up and completely enveloped by this idea that you're not worthy unless you are earning 250k a year. It's just not real.
But also, if you are aspiring or you are looking to people as examples, because there are loads of people who are making legit six figures, I think it's important to think more about the how versus just the appearance. I think a lot of us, like, we pin things on our vision board because it looks really nice, right? Like, oh, I want the Birkin, or, and I'm just pulling arbitrary like markers of wealth. I want the Birkin, I want the nice car, I want to be able to like dangle the keys and say I bought the house and But like, really investigate, as you said, how did these people who have built legitimate wealth or legitimate riches, how did they actually get to it, right? And become more preoccupied in like, you know,
upskilling yourself, really, if you're starting the business, how can you actually create a business model that actually brings in the income that you want? Like, start to really do the groundwork in terms of building your income versus just looking at these really glamorous, external, materialistic indicators of quote unquote perceived wealth. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I mean? Because like you're saying, we don't know the sources of a lot of people's income, but there are a lot of people who are like very transparent about, I made six figures like this. I made six figures doing this. And I think it's important to set those examples mm-hmm. for yourself mm-hmm. as you pursue a goal. There's no point looking at people as your marker of, there's no point looking to certain people, certain images as your marker of success if right. you don't know how they got there. Mm-hmm. If you don't know the path that they have walked, it's like setting a destination and you have no idea the roads to take. I think try your best to find goals, especially ones in real life if you can. But if not, online is actually a great place. Mm. But like find people who leave a trail behind them, who leave breadcrumbs behind them to be like, follow this path to yeah. get there. And I think you'll find your way to being way more fulfilled, because oftentimes those images that we can even put together, those vision boards we can put together can do well in shaming us, right? In like, you're not here yet. You need to, like you're saying, you despise where you are. You despise what you've done or what you have not done. But actually, you need to have images which motivate you, images which guide you, not images that shame you. Yeah. So yeah, just be careful as you design those vision boards. Some of the images you're putting on there, you might never get there because you don't know how to.
Some of them have ditches on the way.
Yeah, they do. Avoid those. But I think this is actually a really good segue into my point, which is poor budgeting or simply living outside of your means. Guys, come, breaking news. We're in an economic crisis, like global economic crisis. And I think it's important for you to remember that, like, this is not the time to ball out. It's not the time to be maxing out the credit cards and the overdraft, especially as Christmas approaches as well. Economic downturn, as we've seen, is a very real thing. It can occur in our lifetime. It's happened many times.
It's okay for your presence to be the present. I know this is liberating somebody right now as you're listening to the sound of my voice.
No, put in effort as well. Like, put in effort, but effort doesn't just necessarily mean balling out, right? And I think it's important for us to become very, very real with ourselves as to what it is we can and cannot afford.
Right.
Because I think the way culture has kind of worked and social media has worked these days is it kind of creates smokes, mirrors, and just unrealistic expectations around what should be normalized as affordable. Mm. Guys, a business class ticket is a luxury. Yeah.
But also those things, they're expensive. Like,
no, and that's what I'm saying. It's a luxury.
As in, if you're working in the airlines, like you're a senior executive in these industries and you find yourself coming across this to my sister's episode, I want to let you know that I understand that you're going through a lot, but what you're doing is not good. What you're doing is actually not good. And you guys that charge extra for those extra legroom, alleged extra legroom. No, have a
great. It is extra legroom though.
No, but the extent is serious, because they'll now come and charge you a good £100 plus yeah. for those extra exit row.
But that's capitalism.
You're charging me. If we get into an emergency, yeah. I'm now becoming the first responder. It's me that's, whoa, I'm opening up the door.
But you chose to sit there.
I've now paid £100.
You chose to sit there.
Because I needed the space, girl. I need my toes to
You're telling me I'm 6 foot tall already. I completely understand. But what I'm saying is, as much as these industries, what you're doing is absolutely criminal. We as consumers also need to understand that these things are extortionate, luxuries, yeah. or these things are luxuries. And I think so much work has been done over time by consumerism, advertising, but also like us responding to that and attaching our self-worth to that, to suggest that certain things which are actually luxuries should actually be normal. Like, oh yeah, of course you should be flying business class. Of course you should have designer items. And I mean, like, for example, if you've been following me on Instagram, actually, you will see the fiasco of the Bottega bag. So guys, there's this gold bag that I've had my eye on for a very, very long time. And there's so many layers to this story, which I'll explain. I've had my eye on for a very long time. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cute, right? The original link that I typed, tapped on. The bag was like £100. And I was like, this bag is very, very cute, but I know how many times I'm going to wear it out. And this doesn't it's correlate. It doesn't cute. Cost per wear is not going to make sense. And so, no, the bag is cute. The bag is really is cute to me.
As in we've made the same point.
No, the bag is cute. It's not about, is this bag not worth £100? It's not worth £100 to me.
Yeah, that's
because
what I mean.
Of my cost per wear, not because of the look of the bag.
No. As in, that's what I mean.
But you said this bag is not cute enough for £100.
No, as in, is it £100 cute? As in, are you going to be wearing it multiple
times? Oh, okay. I get what you mean. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. So I was just like, cost per wear is not going to make sense for me. So I need this bag for way cheaper because I really love the look of the bag.
Right.
So I put on my Instagram story. I was like, guys, I really want this bag. It's getting close to Black Friday. Can someone find me this bag for less than how much I'm seeing it for? Because I'm seeing it like £100 to £60 is the cheapest one I've seen. And it's still not worth £60 to me.
Lo and behold.
And then people were like sending me links. The girls had my bag. They were like, oh, here's a version for like £40, and that was the one I was getting. I was like, guys, I can't lie to you, this bag is still not worth that much to me. Now bear in mind, I have stuff in my like closet which I wear very, very often, which I know I could invest in, but this bag is not an investment for me. This bag is like, I'm gonna wear it a couple times, a couple outfits in my wardrobe, especially as I'm building like a capsule wardrobe. But anyways, then someone sneaks into my DM like, sis, this is the dupe. The £60 to £100 range you're talking about is the dupe. This bag is £3,000. The original bag from Bottega is £3,000.
Bottega.
And my shock was, so I posted that on my story. And Bottega. My followers are actually so funny. You guys are actually hilarious. They were like, this is so embarrassing, Courtney. Now you need to buy the £100 bag. Can you just send me the link when you find one cheaper, please? And I was just like, this is so funny on so many levels, because number one, who is buying this bag for £3,000? I really want to see how the outfits you're putting together and how you can justify buying this bag. It's not even a big bag. Grand. It's not a bag that you can resell. I don't think that you're buying it for £3,000. But anyway, I'm not pocket watching. Do what you can. If it's in your budget, buy the bag. But the funny thing was, it was kind of like, oh, but Courtney, you can afford this bag. Who told you that?
Listen.
Who told you that?
Listen.
Who told you that? You people that you perceive me as wealthy, whilst I receive it in Jesus' name, amen.
Tap into that.
Priorities. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's the bit that like was making me cackle, and people were cackling with me in my DMs, where I was like, even if you got the money, this ain't where you're meant to be spending it for me, right? That because this is a luxury. Like to spend £3,000 on a bag, that £3,000 needs to be as disposable to me as the £35 I want to spend on this bag at the moment. And I think that's the bit we don't think about, where it's like, oh my gosh, I need this symbol or this marker of wealth because it's really nice and you like it. I'm not saying that you don't want it, but it's like, those things, the bag should be a luxury. It should be an added thing. It should be something you can easily buy. That watch, that piece of jewelry should be something you can easily buy, unless you've really calculated it as an investment, right? The majority of people who are buying bags for £3,000 is nothing for them.
Right.
The people who are sitting in business class buying, you know, tickets for £3,000, £4,000, £5,000, £12,000 sitting in first class, that money is chicken change to them. They're not spending their life savings on a flight. Mm-hmm. But there are so many of us that because we think this is the level I should be at, we're actually spending money we really should be putting on our savings, putting towards our future, putting towards assets, emergency funds, planning, right? Actually planning to establish ourselves. We're now spending that on arbitrary things, thinking, well, this is what will get me the social acceptance. This is what will give me the perfect branding. When it's like, you're misprioritizing here. The people who are buying this, they can throw the money away. You need to cling onto that money like your life depends on it right now, especially because of the economic climate. Do you get what I mean? So that's what I would say. Like, this is not the time to live above your means. This is not the time to start going into debt for things which really do not matter. This is not the time to throw away budgeting all in the name of having a good time and, you know, YOLO. Hey, you only live once. Yes, your life, that once will be short it will be defined by poverty. If it doesn't happen now, it will happen one day. And I think as young people as well, we need to remember that no matter what, you'll always have to pay the price. It may not be today. Some of you are doing Klarna with life. Buy now, pay later. It may not be today, but you will eventually have to pay. Numbers always need to add up and realign unless you want to file for bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And I don't think you want that on your name at this very, very, very young age, okay? So I think it's important for us to remember,
look at what's happening around you, the reality of the situation, not the timeline, not the pictures, not celebrity culture, not, you know, the nice designer bags, whatever, because I did end up finding that bag on AliExpress. If you want the link, just DM me.
Drop it. We'll do an affiliate something, something.
DM me, okay. But yeah, like, this is not the time to use that to tell you how much you should be spending. What you should be using to tell you how much you should be spending is your vision for your future, how much you currently made, how much you currently make, how much you actually need to live, okay? And then the rest of it, girl, prepare for some rainy days, because I really think some showers are coming.
Some real showers are coming. I think that's such a great point. And again, don't feel so much pressure to have to purchase things that you don't like. I think sometimes, again, markers of wealth can like be so...
If somebody wants to buy it.
If somebody in faith wants to purchase our good sister
someone who
bag,
can dispose £3,000.
Go ahead. We would love
but
that.
But also, if you can dispose £3,000, I'm looking to currently add to my house deposit. Screaming. We're also now building like phase two of the school.
Basically,
if you have £3,000, donate.
Basically, do you know what I mean? Donate. But yeah, I think there's something there in terms of having your priorities set for your finances that is really, really important. And I think moving forward as well into 2024, of course, there's always a lot of gusto at the end of a year, moving into the beginning of the year, where you now have this energy to really think about your finances intentionally and move intentionally with it. I think that maintaining that gusto as you go into the year, throughout the year, to the end of the year, so that you don't end up like a car that has no gas at the end of the journey is very, very important.
Yeah.
I think also there's something to be said around not feeling some type of way and going to the extremes of that too. You can still enjoy things. I think what's really great about the story that you told is at least you found a way to still enjoy something you really like.
Oh, that's one thing I'm gonna do.
Finding a dupe. Like, you don't have to get the most expensive version of the thing. You can get something that's a dupe that will bring you as much satisfaction. Or if it's something that actually means a lot to you, it might be your one-off investment piece.
Yeah.
It might be that, you know, you actually save a portion of your salary, depending on how much you're making, to afford the thing that you actually like. It is about, you know, balancing your priorities and making sure that you can still enjoy the present whilst being quite realistic and quite focused on building your future. For example, I love my coffees. I love my iced coffees. I actually have a coffee fund where, you know, I will add a little bit. It's not every day that I'll get a coffee, but I'll add a little bit into that fund to make sure that I can enjoy it. Or it may be the brunches that you like. It may be the travel experiences that you like. No one is saying that you shouldn't do it. We're just saying don't go overboard to the point that you are spending your entire life savings and your life's work on momentary pleasures. It is that balance between the moment, but also the future.
Yeah.
So finding interesting, cool ways that, or, you know, little hacks that you can actually afford to do the things that you like. Even thinking about, you know, you don't have to necessarily spend 10,000 on your credits or whatever. You can even get rewards. There's reward systems and points and stuff that you can do to make sure that the flights are cheaper. If you do love the experience of the business class flight, you don't have to go every time. It could be a one-off thing that you do in the year to treat yourself, right? So I think it's also that accounting for the pleasures that you enjoy in life, not going overboard, because greed will get you into a place and get
and
you into
a thing.
Rut.
Like, greed is a very real thing, and it will drive you into the negative. Greed will rob you. The other thing I wanted to touch on in that as well is, just because it's expensive, it doesn't mean it's an investment. Because I think that's a word we're throwing around too flippantly well. A lot of us are like, oh, it's expensive, but I need to invest in something. People are always telling me, like, it's worth the investment. Is it actually worth the investment to
you?
Does
it generate
a
return?
Have you calculated the return? Like I was saying with the bag, cost per wear. For someone, that bag is an investment, because I'm not a fashion influencer. If I buy a £3,000 bag, it's not going to guarantee a £3,000 campaign for me.
100%.
Do you get
not.
What I mean? However, if I go and spend a lot on skincare, I make content around that stuff. So actually, it could make a return for me. Or in the case of like real life situations, just because you're buying something because it feels good, your return may just be that feeling good in the moment. After that, are you going to regret spending that money? Because if you really think about it, how many things in your life have you regretted buying? Let's be real.
And it's when you're like broke or in a downturn that
you'll
be like,
that's when your regrets will now resurface. And you know why you're broke? Because it wasn't an investment. That is the perfect sign. Thank you, Renee. It returned no money, which is why now you're thinking,
if I had
saved that money, would I be hungry now?
No, stop.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know how? No, but you know the bind that kind of thinking puts you in.
I'm telling you, it's painful. Oh, I've been there several times.
You'll be thinking about the lavish meals you had in 2018.
I don't regret some of those.
Though. I don't.
Yeah. But I don't regret them because I have the pictures. Yeah, I have the vlogs. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
That's true.
And so I think I can't tell you what is an investment for you and what is not. Obviously, there are some things which like, universally, like buying a house or buying certain assets, which is like, you know what, it's pretty much a sure bet that that's mm-hmm. going to return mm-hmm. an investment. However, for certain things, the investment could be, like you said, like maybe for my whole life, I have struggled to spend money on myself. So when I saw this thing and I liked it and I told myself I was going to buy it, even if it doesn't mean things to people, I know what this bag means to me. I know what my first designer item means to me. It showed me that I had broken into a new dimension of income. It showed me that I had got in my first big girl corporate job. I can't put a value on that. Do you get what I mean? What that means to me will mean something very different to you.
Right.
However, if you are feeling like you're doing something because it feels like, oh my gosh, everyone else is doing it and everyone's saying, you know, buying this thing that I usually buy for £20 as an £80 thing is an investment. Maybe it's not an investment for you, right? So get acquainted with your own unique goals in 2024, man. Absolutely. Like, not everything is an investment just because it's expensive.
Oh,
it's not. Don't be stupid.
It will drive you into debt and then the bailiffs will be at the
door.
And
let me tell you something about debt. Like, CCJ. It can be crippling. It can be really, really crippling. Don't do it.
You don't sleep well at night when you owe somebody money.
The anxiety is crazy. Like, it's not worth it, especially at this young, young age.
You
like,
don't have to.
There are some debts which you can take on. We're not scaring you. Like a mortgage is debt, you know, if we're going to be real.
However,
it's the debt that leads to return.
Yeah.
Some of you are in debt that leads to death.
And also even in that point, making sure that the investments that you make sense for you.
Exactly.
For some of you, you've saved, you want the house, whatever. You might not want to buy the house now.
Yeah.
You might not even want to buy a house.
Yeah.
There's other, or for example, a car. You might have, you know, saved your entire...
Sorry, a car is not an investment. Unless you need a car to work.
For some people...
It's pure luxury and leisure.
For some people, a car is an investment. But the point still stands,
and
right?
Family,
for others, what you classify as an investment might actually end up being a liability and vice versa. Find out what is an investment for you. What kind of life do you actually want to live? And what kind of investments or what kind of things do you need? Prioritize those.
Yeah, prioritize it. But especially for our young sisters listening, like, girl, you're probably where you're really meant to be.
And it's okay
and
to
it's
be
all
there.
Right.
It's actually all right.
Listen. Like, things will work out. And trust me, you'll get to 30s, 40s, 50s and be like, you know what? I really did make it. And I didn't kill myself to do it. Listen. I didn't destroy my name to do it either.
Kept that reputation because that reputation is necessary.
Necessary.
Speaking of reputations, or number three on the list is we got to leave those toxic relationships behind. And this is not your sign to do the whole I'm cutting off everybody in my life, because you might be the toxic contributor in your relationships. But I think just the glamorization of toxic relationships, especially celebrity relationships. Mm-hmm. I am firmly of the belief that we definitely know entirely too much about each other and we should stop. And just this, again, just the glamorization of toxic relationships or relationships that are problematic in nature. And not just in, you know, the celebrity sphere. We've seen it in like the reality TV shows as well. I know we've just did and kikied about things like Love is Blind and 90 Day Fiancé and all of those really interesting shows. But it goes to show what sells right now online. Or when we think about, you know, Love Island, it goes to show what sells right now. And as much as we can look at these things as, you know, humor, television, the things that we use to escape in our lives, a lot of these things end up impacting our lives indirectly or directly. There is nothing glamorous about persisting in relationships that are toxic. There is nothing glamorous about persisting in relationships that are actively bringing you harm or relationships that are abusive. And this is not to say that this is everybody's reality, but in 2024, the vision that I see for women, I need you to be in healthy, thriving relationships, not just romantic, but also platonic, right? Healthy relationships. And again, this doesn't necessarily look like cutting off relationships. It looks like striving in the pursuit of relationships that are healthy. It means challenging people that are being toxic. It means challenging toxicity within you. It means doing deep character work to ensure that you're not a toxic person. It means committing to health with your romantic or platonic or familial relationships. But what I need us to do is to really leave that toxicity behind, because it's often our relationships that can be the source of the biggest pains that we experience. Mm. And I know I talk about this often, but thinking about Bonnie Ware, if you haven't read the article or her book on the five biggest regrets that people have before they die, one of them is around relationships, the kind of relationships that we have, whether it is ensuring that we have strong, healthy relationships with our friends, or just ensuring that we actually have a community of people around us where we are actually in good stead and good standing with them. Even the relationship that we have with ourselves can be toxic. I think one of the things that I love that you said at one of the events that we went to recently, shout out to Sit Down UK, we had a great time there. Icy and the team, you guys hosted us phenomenally, and it was just great to be around a community of women and men, and just having a really great conversation around all things sisterhood, community, all that kind of good stuff. But challenging your internal voice, has your internal voice been toxic to you? Do you have a healthy relationship with yourself? How often do we, again, get to the end of the year and we are beaten down on ourselves because we haven't, you know, stood up to the standard that we've set for ourselves in the beginning of the year? We need to prioritize healthy relationships with ourselves. In fact, that might even be the start, so that we can have a healthy relationship with other people. And then thinking about what we said in our last episode, our relationship with God. Do you actually have a healthy relationship with your maker? I know obviously that manifests differently for other people, but for us, obviously we're Christians. Do you have a healthy relationship with God? And it may not necessarily be, oh, you know, it's unhealthy in the sense of I hate him and I don't have a relationship at all. But do you actually maintain an open line of conversation with your maker? Are you in touch with your spiritual side? So taking these relationships that you have, the different spheres of your relationship, this is like my biggest challenge for you guys that are in that reflective period, that reflective season. You're thinking about your 2024. Where are your relationships? What is the status of your relationships? Are you having healthy bonds? Are there ways that you can fix that? Are there ways that you can strive towards having healthier relationships that don't look like cutting people off? Are there ways that you can have healthier relationship with yourself and the way that you speak to yourself? And are there ways that you can have a healthier relationship with your maker and tap into that element of spiritual relationship too?
I completely agree with that. And I think it's also like, what does your maker say about you and who you are? And like you said, challenging that toxic voice, but even back to the toxic relationships part, like really investigate within yourself, what part of me is tolerating this and why? Like, why am I tolerating something so unhealthy? And for a lot of us, it is, oh no, but I really care about that person. Okay, cool. Let's assess that. Yes, you really care for that person, but will it be at the cost of your own sanity, safety, and peace? Why are you willing to sacrifice that for someone else's comfort, right? Yes, it will be uncomfortable for them to change, but it's uncomfortable for you to stay. So who's bearing the brunt? Who's at a loss here in this relationship? So I think it's important to also question for yourself, like, how do I not only put myself first, but also if this is going to be a challenge I undertake, what am I going to get out of it? Because I think the beauty about testing seasons, testing relationships is they produce something really good in you, which is, you know, an essence of patience. And I'm not saying this in an unhealthy way, but like patience, understanding people, compassion, all of that stuff. However, those things don't have to be learned at the cost of your life. At the cost of your continual disappointment, right? There are some times where you're like, you know what? I know the lesson I need to learn here, but I don't need to learn it here.
Wrap it up.
This is a dangerous and toxic environment, but I know that, okay, I've recognized these things in myself. Now let me go and get myself in a healthy place so I can learn, right? Don't allow yourself to be tossed to and throw and handled really roughly in 2024. You're delicate. You're sensitive. Things will hurt you, right? And you shouldn't continue subjecting yourself to pain. Especially at the hands of other people.
It's a really dangerous thing.
It's a really dangerous thing. And my last point is we need to leave in 2023 cancel culture. Well, we find ourselves here.
We need to be careful. Somebody might cancel.
This is what I'm saying. Okay, now listen.
Come over here.
Listen.
Take a seat.
You know, I'm a firm believer in accountability. I love it. I think it's so important. I think we should all be honest and transparent with people when we say, you know what you did there? Wrong. Mm-hmm. Don't do it.
Stop it.
Go and seek help.
Mm-hmm.
Go to jail.
I really
think it's important for us to hold people accountable, especially because we are all human beings and no one deserves to violate other human beings, abuse other human beings, and all of that. When I say get rid of cancel culture, what I mean is this trying to shame people because of a difference of opinion, number one. Number two, holding people accountable without allowing them room for redemption.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If somebody actually changes, oftentimes cancel culture doesn't leave room for somebody to actually change.
Yeah.
It limits them to being this one moment, this one action. This is all you'll ever be. This is all you've ever done. And because of that, you do not deserve respect. You do not deserve another chance. You do not deserve anything. Go mm-hmm, away mm-hmm. and die. And I think a lot of us do, a lot of people, not us, I've never done it. A lot of people do it. No, it's horrible. A lot of people do it because one, it's virtue signaling.
Yeah, exactly.
Two, it allows you to be, you know, all high and mighty about your moral compass, right? Again, virtue signaling, but also self-righteousness. And a lot of you actually don't care that justice is done. You just care that your outrage is heard
mm-hmm.
because you know that if your outrage is heard, then people think, oh, such a good person. Oh my God, they're outraged.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Aligned.
Oh my gosh, what an ally. What a great person advocating for change. You're not advocating for change, you're just loud. You're just very, very loud.
Your voice too loud.
You're very, very loud.
Turn the volume down.
I really love people who are loud about injustice, right? But I think their thing is, okay, what is this going to bring? It needs to bring about systemic change. Mm-hmm. It needs to bring about wider conversation. It's never just about the individual. It's about us as a society.
Right.
Someone who I love who does this is Kelechi Okafor.
Yeah,
when a Kelechi klaxon call, something is going on.
Listen.
It's never, well, it always is about accountability, right? But it's never just, oh my God, this person is just such a bad person. And da, 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 da. It's also, as a society,
right.
We keep getting these wrongs. As a society, we need to change these things while simultaneously saying this is the perfect example of a complete bad human being.
Absolutely.
Who embodies all of the things that are wrong with society. But I think a lot of us try to do the whole cancel culture thing because we're like, you did something bad. Let's all just hone in on the bad thing
Listen.
You did. But we're not actually thinking about how does this change society,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we see, and I think we see this most when people jump onto the bandwagon.
Yeah.
You don't know what this person originally did. You don't know what they said. You don't even know why it's wrong. But because everybody hates them, you're now using this as an opportunity to bring out things that you've just always had. You've always hated
ammo
this person.
In the back.
Just say you've always hated this person.
Ammo
you don't like
the
them.
Back.
Not necessarily, oh my God, you see, this is why I've always had a suspicion. You don't have discernment. You're just envious. You're just sad. You're just somebody who cannot... You just don't want to see people succeed. You don't mm-hmm, want to see mm-hmm, people happy. Mm-hmm. And so, like I'm saying, don't conflate me saying cancel culture needs to be left in 2023 with me saying we don't need to hold people accountable.
We do
need to hold people accountable. But accountability leaves room for redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Accountability is going on a journey with somebody or at least observing that they do endeavor to actually change. And a lot of us aren't willing to do that work, right?
Mm-hmm.
We aren't willing to see people make the change, do the repentance, do the complete turning around and overhauling. And sometimes that does require you to be in obscurity, go off the internet, whatever. But I think what we're doing now is just stoning people.
Yeah.
It's death by public trial. And I think it's jungle justice and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't bring about change.
And it always lacks the nuance that is actually required to hold people accountable anyways. We're so quick to believe in news that spreads really fast
really
on the internet.
Fast.
And that's the problem, right? News spreads ridiculously
Bad
fast
news.
On the internet. And how loud are folks with their condemnation? But, you know, there have been some cases where people get things very, very wrong and you're very quiet with your apologies all of a sudden. And then it's this was a great opportunity to point at a bigger injustice.
Yep.
And it's like, you can't use people as martyrs for your agendas. You can't use, again, emphasis on the word people, because there's a dehumanization process that occurs when people start these witch hunts.
Yeah.
You can't just cancel a person. And then there's also that sense of entitlement that people have, especially for those that have large platforms or maybe celebrities. And yes, I get it. When you are a celebrity, a public figure, or anybody that is scrutinized by the internet, people hold you to a higher standard.
Mm.
That comes as part of the job.
Yeah.
However, even as we are seeking to hold these people accountable, rehabilitation needs to be part of that conversation.
Yeah.
And also, even in that accountability, public justice, jungle justice, listen, guys, there needs to be process and protocol in doing these kind of things. We can't destroy people's livelihoods over things that have not been confirmed. Mm-hmm. We can't destroy entire livelihoods until we have actually done our due diligence as well. And if you haven't done your due diligence, you might have ruined people's lives that, you know, didn't necessarily need that heavy-handed justice, or it might have not actually been your place. I love what you were saying about virtue signaling. A lot of people use jungle justice or online justice as a sign to virtue signal, as a sign to say, hey, I'm better than you. And as much as I love that the internet has given us this decentralized platform to be able to share our views, there is still a pervasion of this need to be on top of people, this need to be more powerful, this need to say, hey, I can ruin your life in, you know, a click of my fingers, or listen, or an old tweet from 2012, mm-hmm. whichever it is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for us to, again, hold space for that forgiveness, hold space for that rehabilitation. It may take a while. Nobody is saying that you should, you know, forgive this person straight away, or that you shouldn't, you know, hold them accountable, mm-hmm. but you should at least at some point, you gotta let it go, especially if they show changed behavior, especially if they're actually trying and it's holding space for somebody to try. If you haven't tried, look, we are big believers in the justice system. You must go to jail.
Guys.
You must. There are some of you.
Sometimes I really think, should I find myself in the law system again?
Genuinely.
Like, I could become a police officer.
You watch things like Criminal Minds, you watch Law and Order, you watch Suits, all of these things. And I'm just like, you know what? Some of you guys, the accountability actually looks like you going to jail. And it, that public, not dogpiling, but the public platforming of what you're doing that is wrong, you need it. Some of you, you need it. You need it. We need justice. Some of you, jail time. We have already spoken prolifically about certain figures on this podcast that I think would very much potentially benefit from jail time. I will not speak of their names because things are already
the unnameables.
Listen to the last few podcasts. You'll know who I'm speaking about. You must crumble. And I don't want to bring too many conspiracy theories to this podcast because maybe we'll have like a segment in our podcast where we deal with that. Yeah. But too many strange things are happening to those that are holding those that are the richest and in power accountable. Too many things. You know what? That's why I think it's actually important to make sure that you have people around you to support you in this accountability part. Because like I said, we don't want to go missing. We are in our right frame of mind. If anything happens to us, like, guys, just know that it was not of our own volition. The point is, there are some of you that you don't have changed behavior and you have been running amok. Some of you, you have to be cancelled.
Yeah.
But the culture.
No, you have to be imprisoned. The issue is the word cancel. What does cancel achieve for anybody? It's not a shipment. We can't just incarcerate. Let's use the language. Let's use the language. Ostracized. Defunded. Blackballed. Let's use the language of old.
Some of you
cancelled. What does cancelled do there? Bankrupted. Let's use words of old. No, honestly,
that is too funny. The blackboard is killing.
What's the older? Banished. We need to go Alexa. We need to go back to these words that carried meaning.
Do you remember back in the day?
What does it mean to cancel someone?
Oh, when you used to be exiled and you'll take your back off your shoulder
and walk into a forest. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Some of you need to go to evil forest from Lonely Woods.
There we go. We need to bring back these terms that meant things. What does cancel mean? Just gonna make another account.
Oh, God.
Just gonna resurface as a motivational speaker.
Some of you, some of you, you know who you are. Some of you must be blackboard deplatformed.
Deplatformed is a good one.
Is the exiled and banished? Blackboard.
Scribble out their name.
Our point is
extricated. Is it extricated?
What was it? Extradited.
Extradited. Sorry, you need to be removed.
Send them back somewhere.
Cancel means nothing.
Oh, do you know?
Honestly, guys, I'm going to start. Let's bring back words with meaning.
No, how did we go from remove cancel culture to you need to be extradited?
No, because I'm saying, Because the essence of cancel culture for me, it achieves nothing.
Nothing.
Renee, you tell me, do you know how funny that what is? Does it mean to cancel someone? It's not an appointment.
Oh, he's cancelled.
You need to we're be not, disappointed, you know unappointed. Hear,
no, stop it. It's that we're not supporting his work. Listen, he shouldn't be. He shouldn't be. No work should come out.
No work. Let's say the right thing.
No work should come out. So what we're saying is, obviously not everybody should be painted with the same brush.
Yeah.
But when the brush has been painted, and if it's a serious crime that have been committed, and there is no chance of changed behavior,
yes.
Jail time.
Oh, there we
incarceration,
go.
Extradition, there we go. Blackballing, oh, banished into the evil forest. Get out of
you know what I long to hear? Your accounts have been seized. Your estates have been seized.
No, but do you know what that makes me think of? Do you remember that time that 50 Cent declared himself bankrupt? So, I think he was
and
in
he
a
bought
court.
A smart car.
I genuinely think funny. No, but I think 50 Cent sees things that we don't. I genuinely think, because for you to have been shot 9 times,
yeah,
survived, you are literally one of the people that in the industry that people dislike, yeah, with a passion.
And yet 50 Cent. And did you see standing? Him hanging on the wires and doing the like?
Yeah. There is not a 50 Cent song that requires that.
At all.
Maybe we should leave that. Actually, that's entertained.
That's
keep
what
that.
That tweet.
Keep
that's
that for 2024.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about this one now though. Mm. The cringe dating shows.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
You know what? When I think of something like Love Island, I feel like it genuinely started out as, oh, this is a great premise for us to be able to create conditions for people to find love.
No show but ever I starts feel, like that. I can guarantee you. No show I ever feel starts like that.
Well, I feel like the contestants came on genuinely believing that they could, you know, find
okay, fair
love.
Enough.
I think of Cameron and Lauren on Love is Blind.
Yes, the contestants.
Like, do you know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes,
the contestants.
Yes.
Whereas now, I watched the show and I'm just like, you guys needed to go to therapy. You didn't need to come on this show. Yeah. And I think as much as it is great entertainment, it feels like we're all almost watching these meta relationships. And as much as we're like, oh, this could never happen to me in real life, there's just so much... Let's just say that there's a lot of mirroring in a lot of the situations and relationships that we have seen. Like, these dating shows have almost become microcosmic for what we're dealing with in the real society, world now. Yeah. Right. And it's not that, you know, people are like, it's not just that people are like toxic or, you know, people need to deal with their daddy or mommy issues or people should disclose that they're in bad credit. Love is blind. Izzy, we're coming for you. But also it's this need to comment on like relationships in general. There's this weird meta game playing thing that's going on in both the online dating world but also offline in real life. It's all about scoring points now, and I worry what reality TV shows like, well, not, I don't know if it's reality, it feels very scripted now, but even the more scripted nature of a lot of these dating shows that we're watching, I worry and I wonder the effect that it's going to have on us in 5-10 years time, where it feels like relationships are now just a site of gameplay and who can make the most points, who can virtue signal or grandstand as the better person in the relationship, who can, you know, utilize all of these great therapy words or therapy speech to act as though they are a better person again in this interaction. And it doesn't help that there's a lot of people that are now going on these shows for clout. There's a whole bunch of people that are like, I'm gonna be on, you know, Love Island, Love is Blind, etc. not because I'm interested, obviously if I find someone that's nice, but how often are we hearing of people, you know, winning these shows and then within 6 months they're breaking up. Broken relationships left, right, and center. Maybe I'm still old-fashioned in that I really believe in the sentiment of long-standing relationships that are healthy and hopefully, you know, lacking in infidelity and other bits and pieces like that. But I wonder what it's doing to our society and our culture where we're constantly gamifying relationships, both as something to watch and consume, but also something to participate in real life. Like, what is the impact that it's going to have on us? Right now we can see that it's negative, but now I'm even scared for the future where it's like, I don't know what relationships are going to look like in 10 years. I'm scared of what relationships are going to look like in 10 years time. And I think it speaks to a wider point around, of course, we've spoken about this, consumption. Mm-hmm. What are we consuming? As much as it is all banter and as much as we are trying to, you know, divorce ourselves from the realities that we watch, a lot of this stuff is replicated in our real lives. Mm. It's replicated in our mannerisms. It's replicated in the ways that we, you know, view men. Mm. And if we're, and women, if we're constantly bombarded with images of relationships that are negative, that are gamified, that are problematic, eventually we are going to manifest them in our own spaces.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know if I would say ban or regulate. I don't know if it's getting rid of it completely.
Further language.
Banished. You gotta banish. You guys are with a love is blind. Banish. Get out.
That's funny.
You know what that makes me think of? Like what? Medieval times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's actually a very funny word. It's actually a very
banish
funny
is
word.
A hilarious word.
It is. But I completely agree with what you're saying. I think it's not necessarily, I think it's the intention people are going onto these shows with.
Right.
And inevitably, like, it's actually unavoidable at this point that there will be ulterior motives because of, like you said, the gamification of finding love on TV or dating shows. And so I think the issue here is more so, what can we do now as consumers to recognize that this is entertainment? Like, and I think that's the thing we need to go in with, because I really love dating shows.
They're funny.
I don't really watch many.
They're hilarious.
But when I do, I'm like invested, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it's, we just need to remember, it's the same with reality TV. It's the same with, you know, everything, like game shows. It's all entertainment. Mm-hmm. And the more we tell ourselves that, we become less invested and we give less of our heart away into thinking. We let it influence us less, is basically I'm saying. Like, as you consume these things, just recognize portions of this are scripted. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is staged, right? A lot of it are intentionally carved out narratives, right? Because of that, I'm not going to let it influence how I see the real world or how I go about my dating life. The issue with that, though, is as much as we think we're really strong-willed and we're, you know, all super intelligent and have critical thinking skills, we do inevitably become what we consume.
Right.
So the more you consume these things, the more it will alter the way you see relationships, mm-hmm. unless you balance it with real life representations of dating and of relationships, like you're saying, like, you know, the healthy relationships that are absent of infidelity, that are highly committed, that are functional. If you do not have that representation in your life, your brain will inevitably default to thinking that these things which you have watched, whether they are reality or not, mm-hmm. are real life, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why a lot of us, you know, we internalize messages. Since we've been born, we've been internalizing messages.
Yeah.
We've been learning to navigate life through what we see and what we have been told about how life works.
Yeah.
And so even if you are telling yourself, this is scripted, this is entertainment, we still all believed in fairy tales at some point in life. Do you get what I mean? And those weren't real. And so it's just important to remind yourself that, like, yes, I can be critical, but also the more I am exposed, the more likely it is that I will become influenced.
Yeah.
And my thinking will be shaped by what I see.
For sure.
And so be careful. Just remind yourself, it's all entertainment value, baby.
This is absolutely tangential. Will you be telling your kids lies about, like, fairy tales, Santa Claus?
Absolutely not.
I was thinking about the Santa Claus.
I will tell you. What?
I genuinely was thinking about the Santa Claus one because I saw, like, a couple of, like, TikToks and tweets and stuff about, like, oh, you know, my kids believing in Santa Claus. I don't want my kids believing in Santa
Claus. At all. What?
I will tell you it's a story, but in terms of presents, they're coming from your
they
parents.
They are coming from us.
That's crazy.
Santa Claus. Firstly, Christmas is about Jesus Christ.
And the tooth.
You better read your Bible.
The tooth fairy. You ain't getting money if your teeth come out. I'm sorry.
Absolutely not.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely not. Maybe a cheeky £1 for your sorrows.
Yeah, just for your sorrows.
What will £1 even buy?
You know, back in my day.
Back in my day, you could buy substantial
all
stuff.
Sorts of
three
stuff.
Packets of sweets for £1.
Listen, those Freddos, KA, simple. All sorts.
But yeah, my kids are not going to think Santa Claus is real. But I think with that, though, you should teach them not to ruin it for others.
Yeah, that's
like,
the thing.
Don't go around.
Don't be going to school and saying Santa Claus is not real.
Don't do that.
Because other people want to live in that delusion.
Santa Claus, the tooth, all these folktale things.
No, I, we
you
ain't
will
folk.
Learn about Anansi the spider.
We ain't folk. Did you say Anansi?
You will learn about Anansi the spider.
I love
we
that
are from
book.
Ghana.
Yeah.
Don't forget your heritage.
Shout out to all the storytellers and writers, especially those that, you know, write about the diaspora. All of my child's books be black.
Yeah, black.
Black. Your favorite kid stories from, like, various countries, please, we need them.
Honestly,
can't be,
I'm going to start telling you Cinderella was a black
can't
girl.
Be, yeah, 110%.
Simple
we're
as.
We're going to start with Tiana from
there
New Orleans.
There we go.
We're
there we go.
With Tiana from New Orleans.
Also, so I watched that film for the first time recently. We've established this so many seasons in the podcast.
my childhood was not filled with like Disney films.
But even Tiana.
Tiana, I only watched Lion King in like 2020. Or 2019.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. You don't have to keep on saying that.
No, I say that to give context.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I watched Tiana maybe about a month ago.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a lot of voodoo. And jeez. I watched that and I thought, is this for children? Oh my God. And similarly, last week I watched Hercules.
Yeah.
That is such an adult film.
Yeah, the evil be evil in.
But not even just Hercules, it's more so like the sexual innuendos.
Yeah.
This can't be safe to for be children.
To be fair, there's a lot of like children's things which I think for adults, actually yeah. for adults too, because I think the writers are like, all I know you're going to be watching.
Modified horror stories. Have you heard the Hansel and Gretel is a scary tale?
Let me tell you about the Brothers Grimm. Do you remember
I don't know what that is.
The Brothers Grimm? They're responsible for a whole bunch of fairy tales that were initially like horror stories.
Oh, okay.
So, what was the name of the book that we read in like English way back when? But I read their fairy tales. You guys are wicked.
Dark, very dark.
What you've done here is wicked.
It's like Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Very dark stuff.
Wicked.
Yeah. So, you know what are good stories for children?
Yeah.
The Bible.
But even the Bible, there's some things scary in the Bible, scary stuff.
But you know how they have like kid versions of the Bible?
But then that's what they do for fairy tales as well, isn't it? The kids version. There you go. Just things are dark, you know, in life, isn't
that's
it?
That's life.
That's crazy.
That's life.
Nah, listen, check out the Brothers Grimm.
Yeah.
They got their name for a reason,
for
man.
For real.
Defo Grimm.
For real.
Anyway,
guys, let us know if you want that spin-off of like us talking about, you know, conspiracy theories and shows and things.
I'd be so ready now, guys. I'm so ready.
I think it'll be really, really fun. But again, it's work and commitment. And so if you really want to see it, support this podcast.
Please.
Rate us 5 stars. Please. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You've all done so well in 2023. You know what we shouldn't leave in 2023? The growing support of Two My Sisters. All right.
Continue to support
us, guys. So, yeah. You already know the drill. Follow us everywhere on social media to join the conversation and join the sisterhood at Two My Sisters.
Yeah.
That's not our handle. At Two My Sisterhood. At Two My Sisterhood on every platform ever.
At Two My Sisters is an imposter. So please report that. No, because we've gone to that place where people are
impersonating us. Dear Instagram, if you would like to give us a verification badge,
you should do that.
Let's talk to our managers about that, actually, because I think we should get that.
110%.
We should get
at this
that.
Point.
We have articles.
ATP.
We have articles.
We have people have written about us.
Do you get what I mean? We're published authors, for goodness sake.
Oh, heavy on the published authors, baby. Heavy.
You know what I cannot believe about this year? That we went to, but also that we went to Buckingham Palace.
I know.
Crazy.
Outrageous.
Not us being invited to Buckingham Palace.
The Queen's house. Well, the King's house.
The King's house.
The Queen ain't around. Well, on that note, you should follow us on our individual platforms. The lovely lady to the left of me is at CD Boateng, and of course come and follow me over at Renee Kapuki.
Love to see it, and make sure you sign up to the mailing list twomysisters.com to be getting weekly glowing and growing tips sent straight to your inbox. All right, they're basically love letters. They're written so wonderfully.
Platonic.
So platonic. Well, sis, we hope you have an amazing week and that you have an amazing 2024. We will see you next week for the next episode.
Whee!
Love you loads. Bye.
Keep glowing and growing.
Oh, LOL.
She said, love you.
That.
Bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.